Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13 says, "And Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me? And Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." In other words, Jesus was teaching, Jesus was our model. And he was teaching that it's important that we follow the law, that we follow the righteous requirements of God, that we do what is expected of us, even me. Then he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. Now in the Greek, it means the heavens were, they were open, they were torn open. Something moved. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting and resting upon him. And suddenly there was a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The Holy Spirit is desiring to rest upon people. The Holy Spirit is looking for places to rest and abide. Do you have to make yourself an available candidate? That's what Jesus was doing. Jesus was making himself available for the Holy Spirit to come and rest upon him. The Holy Spirit is our enabler. He equips and enables us to do what we've been called to do. How many of you today would like the Holy Spirit just come and rest upon you? Hallelujah. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you, God, for the promise of your word, Lord, and what you desire to do in this service. I ask you, Lord, to instruct us with the word of God today. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. Lord, all I want to be is a mouthpiece. I just want to be a trumpet that declares your glory. I don't need to be any more than that. But Lord, just bring the word to us today. Bring a word from heaven. Bring a word from the throne room. Speak to our hearts, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see Jesus baptized in water by John, and the Holy Spirit came and rested upon him. Now, Jesus wasn't getting saved, right? He's the Son of God. He's God. So he's not getting saved in the sense of we think of being born again or saved and the Holy Spirit coming. He had the Holy Spirit. He's God. He's a part of the Godhead. That's not what's happening here. Something else is happening. The Holy Spirit is coming and resting upon him in a new measure. Jesus was the model. The Bible says he became flesh. He became like you and me, right? Everything that Jesus did on the earth, he did as he was empowered by the Holy Spirit to do. He taught that. He said, "I can't do anything unless I do it by my Father's will." He was trying to teach us how we could walk in the measure of God's Spirit and walk with the Holy Spirit resting upon us. Look what this one man, say Jesus was a man. He was a man. He became a man. Look what this one man did in 3 years. Wow. If that's not a lesson, I don't know what is. Look what this one man did in 3 years with the Holy Spirit resting upon him. Boy, that makes me jealous for God. That makes me hungry. Look what he did with the Holy Spirit resting upon him. And he was trying to constantly teach his disciples. He even said, "Greater things than these shall you do." Amen? Now we fall into this trap. Well, that's Jesus. Amen? That's Jesus. That's the Son of God. That's Jesus. But he said you could do even greater than this. He was exhibiting for us a model of what it was like to walk a life on earth with the Holy Spirit resting upon you. And the Holy Spirit rested upon upon him. There is power in the joy of the Lord. Now, Robin made a statement to me this week. We were up here for National Day of Prayer, and she said, I just believe the enemy's trying to wear out the saints. And that really, when she said that, something leaped in me. That's exactly what the enemy's trying to do. You see, because saints of God, and especially those with spiritual discernment, you discern the war in the heavenlies. You know there's a war going on. And you feel the burden of that, and you feel the pressure of that. And you're walking, you've been wondering, why am I so tired all the time? Why do I feel this oppression? It's because of the time in which we live, and because you have the ability to discern, you're discerning what's going on in the kingdom. And it makes you tired. And the enemy is fighting and fighting because he knows if he can wear you out, if he can wear out the church, and quite frankly, he's doing a pretty good job of it. But we've got to turn the tide. How do we do that? By simply allowing the Holy Spirit to rest upon us. Folks, it's not about striving. It's not about us working harder and harder. It's about allowing God to be big in us and allowing the Holy Spirit to rest upon us. And when the Holy Spirit is resting upon us, we can start to walk in joy again. Amen? How many of you would like to see God's people joyful again? Amen? Because we haven't been. Because we've been beat up. We've been tired. We've been striving. We've been trying, and I get as guilty of it as anybody, trying to work things out. We need to just let Jesus understood this, and the Holy Spirit came and rested upon him. And once the Holy Spirit rests upon you, you can begin to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to show you this. Begin to walk releasing the presence of God, releasing the dove, and letting the presence of God just rest upon us. There's this tendency of work. There's this tendency to do. There's this tendency to try to make things happen and get all urgent and feverish. And when we do that, we just get all out of sorts. And we get all out of harmony with God. You know, we spend a lot of time praying. I want to tell you why you're frustrated in your prayer life. Lord showed me this. You're frustrated in your prayer life because we're praying for things we already possess. You're praying prayers God can't answer. Because he's already answered them. So you think you're not seeing an answer and you're frustrated and God is saying, but I already did that. I've already done that. How many times do we pray, Lord, come and visit with us today. Lord, come here today. And he's saying, I'm with you always, even unto the end of time. He's already told me he's here. Rather than us, God, come and abide with me, and he's already said, I'm abiding with you. Why don't we gather together and just start thanking the Lord that he's already here? Amen? And I know I'm guilty of it too, but here's what I'm talking about. And you say, well, Glenn, it's just semantics. It really is more than that. Because it's about an awareness of reality. It's about an awareness of who God is and what he's done. And when I'm aware, God's already here. God's already here. I don't have to get out and beg God to show up. He's already here. But I need to be aware of that. And you need to be aware of that. Do you know when we come in here and we start our opening song, we need to have an awareness that God is here. Not, oh, I hope God shows up sometime in the service. He's already here. Do you know when we talk about, boy, God just walked, you know, and I'll do this, we all do this. There'll be times in a service where it just feels like the glory just comes and we'll say, God just walked in. I mean, the Lord just came in. No, he was already there. You just suddenly got aware of it. Amen? You just suddenly, oh, the Lord is here. So we need that awareness, and that's what I'm talking about, learning to walk with the Holy Spirit resting upon you. And that awareness, and let's just stop praying these prayers that God's already answered, but be aware that we already possess these things. If you have a, because we want an open heaven, right? But he tore open the heavens. We have an open heaven. I just need to be aware of it. Stop praying for it and be aware of it. And start walking in it. Do you know a closed heaven is in your mind? A closed heaven is in your mind. If you think heaven is closed, that the problem's here. It's about awareness. It's about understanding, being a conscious, having a consciousness of God and what he's doing. The Holy Spirit desires to rest upon you. This same, if you flip over if you want to, you don't have to, but I'm just going to flip over here to John. I want to show you something, this same incident. I want to show you what I'm talking about. John chapter 1, verse 32. I'm just going to read it real quick. It says, And John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. Now I want you to listen to this next part. And he remained upon him. Wow. Do y'all see that? He remained upon him. He didn't just flutter down and then flutter away. He came and rested upon him. He remained upon him. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about walking in an awareness of the presence of God and knowing that God is with you every day. He remains upon you. He rests upon you. But you have to be aware of that to activate it. You have to learn to walk in it. You have to learn to cultivate it. Doves are sensitive creatures. Doesn't take much to, you know, to stir them up. If physically this morning I had a dove on my shoulder right now, and I wanted him to stay there, I would have to be aware that that dove is on my shoulder. And if I was walking down these steps with that dove on my shoulder, I might do it like this. Now, why am I walking that way? Because I'm aware of the dove. I'm aware of the dove. I'm not just floating around like this. The dove's not going to stay. It changed, the way I walk changes because the dove is on my shoulder. I don't know about you guys, but I want the dove on my shoulder. I want the dove resting on my shoulder. Amen? And that's learning how to walk in an awareness that God is right here. One of Paul's prayers was that Jesus would be at home in you, that he would dwell and abide with you. That's setting an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit is comfortable. That's setting an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can rest. Y'all know one of my favorite stories in the Bible is when Jesus is walking. He's just walking. He's not, you know, he's not in intercession. He's not in prayer. He's not in a healing meeting. He's just walking. He's just going from one place to another and suddenly stopped. He felt something. He felt something flow out of him. And it got his attention. And he stopped and he turned around and said, somebody touched me. Who touched me? And the disciples were like, Lord, what do you mean who touched you? There's people everywhere. There's throngs of people around you. It's impossible to know who touched you. And Jesus said, no, somebody touched me. And this woman really, really touched him. Amen. Amen. That's another sermon. I've preached that before. But I wanted to look from the other side. Jesus stopped because he felt something come out of him. Do you know what this woman did? She put a demand on what he was carrying. Because you know how he was walking? That's how he was walking. He was carrying the dove. The presence remained upon him. It rested upon him. And that woman, she knew it. She said, the Bible says she said within herself, if I could just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. And she was. She put a demand on what was in him. And he felt it when it left. The Bible says healing virtue left his body. The power left his body. Now, I know what you're saying. Well, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. But that's not what the Word of God. The Word of God says this is not just limited to Jesus. Peter and John were walking to the temple, and they saw a lame man. And the lame man was sitting there begging for money. Money, some money, need some money. I got to pay some bills. I need a blind. I can't work. And, you know, I mean, I'm lame. I can't work. And Peter, the Bible says, Peter looked on him. Peter looked at him. And he said, fella, I don't have any money. I don't have any money. But such as I have, come on, church. What I have, what I have, I will give to you. I just want to let that rest there a minute. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Peter, the woman put a demand on something Jesus had. This man is asking for something, and Peter says, I'll give you what I've got. I'll give you what I have. He didn't pray. He didn't have to pray for the man. He didn't pray through. You know what we do in those situations? We call a prayer meeting. We get everybody together and pray. You know why? I'm just going to be blunt here. You know why we do that? Because we don't have it. Somebody smile so I know everybody's not angry at me. So we got to pray through. Come on, church. We got to get in touch with God. We got to get the juices flowing. We got to get anointed. We got to get... But he said, such as I have. Yeah, he was ready. And I love this part. The lame man looked at him expecting to receive something. You know what he was thinking? What do you have? He didn't know. The Bible says he thought he was fixing to receive a little money. So he's thinking, what do you have? Your few coins? A few shekels? What do you have? I love that thought. What do you have? That would be a good sermon right there. What do you have? What do you have? What do you have to offer? The world's looking at you saying, what do you have? What have you got for me? He didn't know that his whole life was about to be turned around, because he said, he looked down to receive something, and Peter, what did Peter say? Father, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus for this poor guy. No. Rise and walk in the name of Jesus. He declared the healing word of God. Because Jesus did what? He said, go into all the world, preaching the gospel, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils. Amen. You say, well, Glenn, what's the will of God for my life? Healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, and going into all the world preaching the gospel. Amen? Well, I just want to be a housewife. We'll be a housewife and raise the dead, cast out devils, and some housewives have to cast out devils a lot. Heal the sick, preach the gospel. Peter took seriously what Jesus told him. And he said, such as I have, I give to you. You see, here's what Jesus taught them. My words are spirit and life. He was the Word made flesh, but he said, when I speak to you, my words are spirit and life. When you speak the Word of God, you are speaking the Spirit of God. Or another way of putting it, you are speaking the presence of God. You are releasing the dove. You are releasing the presence of God. But you got to be carrying it. You got to be walking in it. And it don't come cheap. It don't come easy. There's a price to pay. Men and women that walk with that kind of anointing, we got to be more hungry for it. But you see, That's Peter. He said, well, you know, we expect Jesus to do those kind of things. But this wasn't Jesus. This is Peter. Amen? And all of us, we love Simon Peter. He's one of our favorite disciples. Why? Because he's so much like us. He failed over and over again. Yet look at him. Look at what he's doing. Amen? Look at it. Hallelujah. In fact, there's no doctrine here. There's no scriptures that there's no doctrine here. But you know what the Bible says? The story started getting around. People started talking. What did they start talking about? The presence. Stay with me, church. People just started talking about the presence. And you know what they started saying? Just bring the sick and line them up along the road. Just bring the sick and the needy and start lining them up along the road. Why? Because when Peter walks by on his way to prayer and his shadow falls on them, they'll be healed. Why? Because he's carrying the presence. He's carrying the presence. And people's lives are being transformed. And you know, that kind of got around. If we start carrying the presence of God, people will get hungry for it. People are drawn to it. They're drawn to the glory. They're drawn to the cloud. But we got to be carrying. They lined them up along the street because they heard. The Bible didn't teach that. There is no verses anywhere where Jesus said, go out and your shadow will heal people as you walk by. How did that happen? It happened out of experience. It happened because people were visually experiencing the presence of God. That's why sometimes we see extraordinary things happen. We don't always understand, right? Be honest with you. When God's presence meets mortality, when the glory of God comes in contact with flesh, that's why you see people in the Bible all the time just in the presence of God. The Bible says the glory of God was so strong in the house of God, the priest couldn't even stand up. Because the glory of God can get so strong and so mighty. Just his presence changed the atmosphere. Just his presence changed the atmosphere. Folks, God does not want you to be a Dead Sea. You know what the Dead Sea is? You know why the Dead Sea is dead? Because no water flows out of it. Water flows into it, but nothing flows out of it. That's what a Dead Sea is. Peter had a constant outflow of the presence of God. Jesus had that outflow. And it was flow. It was just, and it becomes just presence because they're carrying the dove. You just get around them. I don't want us to be a Dead Sea. Amen? We need allowing the presence of God to flow out of us. And you know how we become a Dead Sea? We get self-absorbed. It's all about me. It's all about my problems. I'm depressed. I'm down. I'm this. I'm that. We're just so focused on ourselves and we're not focused on others. But I'm going to tell you something this morning that's important. Quit being occupied with what you're not and become occupied with what He is. Don't be occupied with what you're not. Be occupied with what He is. I know I'm not a lot of things, but that shouldn't be my focus. My focus needs to be on what He is. Amen? And His glory. Hallelujah. So it's carrying the presence of God. Acts chapter 19 says people were healed by Paul's aprons and clothes that came off of him. And by the way, Acts 19 don't say Paul prayed for pieces of cloth and passed them out. That's not what Acts 19 is teaching. Paul was a tent maker. And Paul wore an apron. Paul wore a work apron. And they were taking those work aprons and pieces of cloth, it says, from Paul's body. They were picking up stuff that he left laying around, and they were carrying it to other people. And the Bible says they were being healed and demons were being cast out. Read it. Why? Because he was carrying such a strong anointing of God's presence, they took his clothes. Folks, that's extraordinary. And I'm talking about a man. I'm not talking about the Son of God. Amen? A man who so walked in the presence of God that powerful miracles were done because people just got a hold of his clothes and passed them around. And understand something, folks. It's not the clothes. It's not the cloth. We're not here to worship artifacts. And that's not what it's teaching us. It's the presence. It's the presence of God. So Jesus gave us this model for us to walk in and carry the dove. The Word of God teaches us that faith comes by what? Hearing, or by revelation or understanding. I've been as guilty as anybody of trying to work it up. Work that faith up. Work up that momentum. We've all been in services, most of us that grew up in Pentecost or charismatic circles, we've been in services that were worked up. Amen? You ever been in one of those services where it's like, something's going to happen here today if we have to stay to 2 o'clock? And we just keep trying to make something happen. Because we feel like that's not God. That's not how God works. Faith comes by resting and revelation. It doesn't come by all our effort and our stirring and all of that. It comes with knowing. What could make a man look at another man and say, such as I have, give I thee. I give what I have. He knew. He didn't have to guess. He didn't have to wonder. He knew. He knew. Now, I'm going to close with this. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 8, and we'll be done. Genesis chapter 8, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 7. All through the Bible, the dove is a type and representation of the Holy Spirit. Types and shadows have to be consistent to work. And Genesis chapter 8, verse 7 says, he sent out a raven, he being Noah. Noah was in the ark, and the ark had come to rest on a mountain, Mount Ararat. And he needed to know if all the waters had receded. So he sent out a raven, it says in the verse, which kept going to and fro until the waters dried from the earth. The raven didn't come back. The dark heart of the raven was able to find floating carcasses and floating this and floating that. He was able to bounce around until everything dried up. He didn't come back. He didn't have to. In other words, the raven found places he could plop down. They're kind of nasty about what they'll eat and what they'll do. They're not particular. Amen? So the raven didn't come back. Sending out a raven was not a good idea. Wrong bird. Now, look at the next verse. But he also sent out from himself. Now, it doesn't say that about the raven. It just says he sent a raven out. But it says the dove he sent out from himself. He sent out from himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned to the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. He put out his hand, and he took her, and he drew her into the ark to himself. And he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out from the ark.
And the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth, and Noah knew the waters were receding from the earth. He waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which it did not return to him anymore. The dove finally found a place it could rest. God has sent his dove out, and it's looking for a place to rest. But it can't rest just anywhere. It's looking, the Holy Spirit's looking for places to come and abide, places to rest. It's looking for churches where it's welcome. We sing that song, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. The Holy Spirit's looking for places where it's welcome, where it can abide, where it can dwell and rest upon us. And we can walk in that presence. Let's stand together.